The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Now, it is 55 years to the day since the iconic Nelson's Pillar was blown up in Dublin. A lot of myth has grown around that bombing, which has been attributed, of course, to the IRA. That might not even be true itself. Well, here to discuss, Lorcan Collins of the 1916 Rebellion Walking Tour and host of the Revolutionary Ireland podcast. Lorcan, it's good to talk to you. Tell me a little bit about the history of the pillar.
Hi, Ciarán. Yeah, good to talk to you. I think it's important to look at the context of the times for the erection of this monument. It began really with Lord Admiral Nelson's famous victory over the French and Spanish fleets in the Battle of Trafalgar. Now, British mastery of the high seas was secured with the destruction of their enemies' fleets. And there was jubilation in England, of course, but there was also jubilation amongst a certain sector of Irish society, namely those who benefited from British rule in this nation. But if we remember the date, 1805 for the Battle of Trafalgar, and your listeners will remember Robert Emmet had his small uprising in 1803, and that Emmet had gone to Napoleon to seek a French invasion, and Theobald Wolfetone had done the same in 1798. Mm-hmm. So the background to the erection of this symbol of British victory and imperialism was the destruction of the hopes that the United Irishmen would rise again with French assistance. So in 1805, when Dublin Corporation agreed to erect a fitting tribute to the Admiral Nelson, who incidentally died on board the HMS Victory, it was decided that a fund would be opened for the public to subscribe. But the reality was that it was the wealthy and the aristocracy that contributed to this, you know.
So this was a message to the Irish people. If they were inclined to rebellion, it was not only a symbol of empire, but a symbol of empire that represented the man who defeated your erstwhile allies.
Very much so, you know. When I was looking at the cost for the whole statue, which came to over, I think it was 6,000 or 7,000 pounds at the time.
Yeah,
it included two flags, Union flags, right? And again, to remind your listeners, the Union had been created on the 1st of January 1801, only a few years beforehand, when the Irish Parliament was removed from Dublin and brought over to Westminster. But the flags weren't going to fly all the time. They were just going to fly on anniversaries for Nelson and royal birthdays, which is very much a message to remind people who their lords and masters were at the time, you know.
How tall was it?
It was quite tall, 134 feet altogether. To contextualise
that, what's that in new money?
You'll have to divide that by 30 or 3 or something like that. Is that about 40 metres or so, I think? I'm not great on the thing. The spire, the Millennium Spire, to contextualise it, is 360 feet, 120 metres. So it's much smaller. It's nearly a third the size of the Millennium Spire. But at the time, I mean, it was enormous. And you could, of course, have great views over the city.
You could go up it, couldn't you?
Well, you were able to go up it. Now, I'm too young to have ever remembered the pillar myself, but certainly I've spoken to thousands of people who said they enjoyed the incredible vista that you got. I think it was a few pennies, 6 pence or something like that, and you climbed up about 166 or 168 stone steps. So you'd have to be fairly fit to make it up to the top, you know. And of course, that was the only advantage personally that I would have seen to it. But this was also a great platform for Republicans in 1966 when they decided the Admiral Nelson's time in Dublin was to come to an end.
When you say Republicans, the IRA, they blew it up, didn't they?
Well, everybody in Dublin thinks it was the IRA. And the truth is, it was a breakaway group from the IRA. There was a man very famous in Republican circles called Joe Crystal. And Joe had broken away earlier on, and he brought a lot of the Dublin IRA with him, including a man I'll come to know in a moment, Liam Sutcliffe. But they felt that the IRA at the time had gone a little bit too conservative and that they weren't doing anything. And a number of them gathered together in Belfast and they decided to try and mark the Jubilee, the 50th anniversary of the Easter Rising, by doing something serious to attract attention, if you will. And they decided that they would blow up Nelson's Pillar. So technically, it wasn't the IRA. It was a breakaway group, many of whom were former IRA members all the same, you know.
Okay.
Liam Sutcliffe.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
No, go on, Liam Sutcliffe, because you're going to tell us about him, yeah.
He would be the only person who ever admitted any role in the events. And Liam very famously, like myself, was on the radio and made an admission in about the year 2000. I think it was on the Joe Duffy show. And the guards arrested him. And he said himself it would be like being arrested in 1950 for charging into the GPO in 1916. So it was quite a ridiculous arrest so long after the affair. But even the IRA at the time, by the way, distanced themselves from the operation in a statement. So we are very much assured that it wasn't the IRA.
It was the splinter group. The other great story about it is that the IRA were, you know, or this crowd, the splinter group, were so well-versed in what they were doing that they successfully blew up half it. And then when the Irish Army came along to get rid of the rest, they blew up half O'Connell Street.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, again, you know, I don't want to spend the whole time busting myths, but that is another one of the great myths. And when I'm doing my walking tour, inevitably when I get to the Millennium Spire, I like to tell people about the blown up of the pillar. And there's always some, at least every second time, there's some old guy will say, ah, yeah, and the Irish Army blew up half of O'Connell Street. But Donald Fallon, in his wonderful book on the pillar, quotes the insurance costs for both events. And when the Irish Army finished the job, so to speak, the claims were about £4,000, which was only a quarter of the original claims for the bombing. So I think it's fair to say that more damage was done in the first bombing of it, really.
All right. Well, listen, Lorcan, fascinating history and a fascinating tale of the demolition of it as well. Lorcan Collins of the 1916 Rebellion Walking Tour. He's host of the Revolutionary Ireland podcast.